Here. Worm is present. Because of the interest of sponsors here, we take up the first order of business committee substitute for hospital number 588. Representative Tischer, would you like to come forward, please, and identify yourself and tell us whatever you believe is necessary.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
I've seen the one that interests me first is the Department of Labor, their position, and they recommended that the term administrative proceeding be replaced with the term adversary adjudication. And I wonder if for some reason why you didn't think that was a good position.
Mr. Chairman, the recommendation of the Department of Labor and practically other department and agencies and state governments have made similar recommendations, whether it be a change of language or a position against the legislation. And it was my position that, first of all, administrative proceedings are as a result of accusations or charges or calling to the attention of a violation of a state regulation, and that language in the bill states that if the adverse position of the agency would result in imposing a civil penalty on the individual, that they have every right in the world to be able to select a representative or representatives by a lawyer or attorney to protect their rights and their position. And if you're narrowing the scope down to disallow all administrative proceedings, and I think that the thrust of this legislation would be lost.
Well, the instance I have in mind, ma'am, is like on the liquor board. If the liquor board sends you a list of charges, sends you a specific charge saying that on such and such a date, our agent witnessed such and such happening, and the statement of charges here, and then please come in and to discuss this matter. And you come in and you have an attorney with you, and they come in to discuss the matter, and the board decides. Then they're thought to maybe suspend your license, but they thought, well, okay, we'll give you another chance. Then under your bill, they would be entitled to the lawyer fees to bring that lawyer in. And what I'm thinking of is it might work in reverse, if the board would say, well, hey, we're going to pay the lawyer's fees, so we'll stock this guy with 10 days, and then we won't reverse ourselves or change ourselves. That's what I was thinking about.
If I'm understanding you correctly, and if I'm not, please correct.
Sure.
If you or I am invited in to discuss those charges, as a far cry from having a formal administrative hearing, whether it's an adjudicative officer.
But it is an administrative proceeding. It's an administrative proceeding under the law.
So you're not being invited in to discuss, you're invited in to answer charges.
It's an informal hearing, yes. It's an informal hearing, and you can, and then if you disagree at that point, you can go forward and then have a regular administrative hearing under the Administrative Procedures Act. But if you agree and take the penalty that the board issues at that time, then you're okay. But if the board says to you, okay, we're not going to do anything this time, and you've got Fritz working for you, you bring Fritz in and Bob, and then you'd be liable, or you could get the attorney fees. And the board might turn around and say, well, we're not going to pay the attorney fees, so let's give the guy, we won't reverse it, so we'll just give him 10 day closure. The wording administrative proceeding is what I'm getting at is if we have a formal, maybe we should put the word formal administrative proceeding or something like that, because there's so many administrative proceedings, anything is an administrative proceeding, really.
In the offer this question to the chair, if you can answer it, this is the normal room, if you can answer the question. It's either an administrative hearing with a hearing officer, or it's not. Is there anything in between?
Oh, yes. If I, anything that, any call-in or any request to come to the office for a discussion is an administrative proceeding.
I think there's a difference between a proceeding and a hearing.
Yes.
A hearing's formal, or a proceeding can be informal, I would think. I don't know.
I mean, there's something in there that we're trying to get you so that you don't have any problems when you're here. I think that the board might be in favor of the bill. I think that they are. And I mean, the committee might be in favor of the bill.
I suppose under your scenario, if I were in a position of being asked to answer the questions that we just remarked on, and I hadn't all done good answers, I probably wouldn't even think of dragging any attorney along if it was going to be an informal thing in the first place, if I could just provide the information to the board, if that's what they're asking.
Well, under the board, under the liquor statutes, which are, there's considerable business, if something comes up director. The director, if there's a charge put in, then there's an informal administrative hearing. And the guy comes in and talks to him. And they discuss it. And he said, well, here's I guess you could say it's before a trial proceeding where they discuss what the one side has and what the other side has. And if the one side says, well, here, the administration says, here's what we have, and we got you dead to rights here, and then we're going to close you down for 10 days. And now, if you want to go forward for an administrative hearing, we might reverse ourselves, or we might make an additional 30 days and close it down for 40 days.
The language.
If you fight, in other words, a lot of times if you fight it, you get a worse penalty than when you're caught dead to rights. If you fight it, then a lot of times you get a worse sentence. The judge will send you no more, or the board will send you no more.
No, I don't fight the system.
No, I don't mean don't fight the system, but I mean if they got you dead to rights.
Well, yeah. I guess the intent of the legislation is to do two things, Mr. Chairman. That is to place on an even level, in the same ballpark, any individual who has been accused and fights and wins the administrative hearing. And on the second, on the other side of the coin, caution agencies to be more sure about their accusations and their case before they start dragging people into an administrative hearing that is going to be costly, or perhaps character damaging, and other types of things that could happen to an individual. You know, probably one of the main reasons why I even thought about this bill in the first place was that a number of people have come to me as chairman of the House Guest Committee, Mr. Chairman, and told me horror stories about their being charged with violations of regulations that in some ways have to do with social services and foster care and so forth, that actually have done great damage to their moral and other character and their position in the community. And several of them, one of which especially jumps into mind, decided he was going to fight that because although he wasn't so concerned about losing his license or permission to do whatever he was doing, but more concerned about his reputation. He fought the case and won the case in the administrative hearing, and he took so gall darn long that it cost him about $20,000 in attorney's fees. Well, two things have happened. One, he's got a nice great big bill, which he appreciates that at least he was cleared of the charges. And secondly, he used his life savings to fight the case and has cleared his name, and that happened right here in Juneau. Since that time, other people have come forward also and given me similar stories about what's happened to them as well, and part of them include small businesses that find themselves in a position of not being able to afford to hire attorneys when state agencies have at their disposal a battery of attorneys in the Department of Law, and if not there, or in addition to that, perhaps even lawyers or paralegal people right within the department that help them to make good decisions based on law and regulation. And so basically the thought behind this all, and as far as terms are concerned, if we could talk about that, is basically to put everybody on equal ground so that party has availability of attorneys and the other party ought to have that same chance. And if you think you're right, and so right, that you want to step forward and hire an attorney, you know that you're going to have to sacrifice and mortgage your home to do that.
There's no argument about the attempt of that. I think possibly if we took in a definition section, took administrative proceeding and we made a definition stating that it would be a formal hearing, fashion the language. And the
looking at the Administrative Procedures Act, Mr. Chairman, I think we could use that perhaps. There's a whole series of sections here about an accusation, how you make an accusation, appointing a hearing officer, service of accusation, notice of defense, time and place of hearing. And we might be able to tie this in
something like
to the hearings that are conducted under the Administrative Procedures Act.
Right.
That way you can tie it down, you know what you're talking about.
Do you follow me? If we put in a definition section, administrative proceeding, and define that rather than fooling with the body of the bill?
Sure.
I think that would be the best thing about it.
But I'd like the prime sponsor to make sure that we're not leaving something out here. But you can see the kinds of proceedings that take place under the Administrative Procedures Act, which I think would cover the mass of what you're concerned with.
You have accusations, and then you have to bring in a...
Right.
See, there's two things in there, an accusation and a... then there are two forms.
Well, there's a statement of issues.
Statement of issues. If that's after the accusation in which you state the... What's in the accusation?
Yeah. But I imagine that they can have an investigation without having an accusation. Right?
Right.
Which may not be formal. But this covers everything from DACPUF to Health and Social Services.
It covers all the writers. Only one or two things
that aren't. A couple that aren't covered. So if we had it in there, I think it would... I think we'll probably do it, But what are they?
I have it in my file.
I'd like to know. I mean, we've got the Real Estate Commission under here, the Workman's Compensation Board, we've got Alaska Public Offices Commission, Department of Education, Department of Environmental Conservation, University of Alaska, Commerce and Economic Development. I mean,
under the Administrative Procedures Act, an accusation is a hearing to determine whether a right, authority, license, or privilege should be revoked, suspended, limited, or conditioned. And then a statement of issues is whether that same thing should be granted, issued, or renewed. See, so there's two separate distinct deals there.
Mm-hmm.
If you put those two in there, that would cover a lot of it, I think. What do you think it would?
I'm trying to remember what does not come under the Administrative Procedures Act. Board of Governors and Bar Association. We don't worry about the attorney. They take care of themselves, right? But I can't remember. There's not very many yet.
Well, Fritz, why don't you work with the representative, or why don't you see if you can't come up with some satisfactory answers?
Fine.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Gary Jenkins, Representative Bensworth, did you want to say something to
him? Mr. Chairman, I think you satisfactorily received the bill, and I'm happy with what you said.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Gary Jenkins. I represent the National Federation of Independent Business. I'll be very brief today. I want to go on record as very strongly supporting this legislation. In fact, we annually poll our membership about key issues that they're concerned about, and this issue has received the strongest support. In fact, 96% of the membership voted in favor of this type of legislation. I might make one comment, Mr. Chairman, regarding your concern. I think your concern regarding definition is appropriate. But I think the structure of the bill probably would take care of the problem you're speaking to, because any initial action would not... not be covered by this bill, where an agency does the initial act, such as, like you referred to, the Liquor Control Board has an informal session and then imposes a penalty, that would not be covered by this legislation. It would only be if they imposed a penalty and then subsequently it was a hearing was requested, because it would just require...
But then that isn't what you want. I see what you're saying. In other words, if a guy is guilty, he's guilty.
If he says, I'm guilty, right, and I'll take the 10-day suspension, that would not be covered by this. It would only be if they appeal that decision, then to the next level, which normally is a formal level in almost any department, and they prevailed. In other words, the hearing officer, or as it refers to here, the other official, determined that this original decision was an error and reversed it, then they could file a claim for attorney's fees. So I believe as a practical matter, it would almost always end up in a formal hearing situation before this legislation would come into play.
If I could ask you, why did you use the words proceeding instead of administrative hearing? Was there a specific reason for that?
It was recommended by our legal counsel.
Okay.
I'm trying to find out if I've got notations on it. As soon as I find it, if I do, I'll get it.
I see what you're saying, Gary, but I mean, if it's an administrative hearing, then it would
definitely
cover right there, and you wouldn't have no problem with it.
But I just think as a practical matter, it's always going to be a hearing before anything could be reversed anyhow, and thus the legislation would be applicable.
I can see the liquor board sitting there and saying, well, this guy's bringing an attorney in, so we'll just stock it to him. We don't have to worry about it paying him anything. They say 5 days.
As long as they agreed to it, then there would be no problem. It would only be if he then appealed it. Then he would have the possibility of recovering.
And then they're going to protract him and make him go through long. You're missing. I'm talking about realities and people's will and how they respond. You challenge them. Every action, a reaction.
Well, a person always has to have a feeling that they have a reasonable chance of prevailing, or they're not going to take the chance. It's always a risk. They have to prevail before they can collect. So, I think.
Yeah, but they would never allow a guy to prevail in those preliminary hearings if he brought an attorney with him. That's what I'm saying. He would force him to go to the full dress hearing. That's what I mean.
Right.
So, in other words, to say, well, okay, forget a guy. Say, well, take him to the hearing. Okay. No questions? Thanks, Gary. Gina Hankins?
My name is Dina Hankins. I'm the Southeast Regional Supervisor for the Department of Environment and Conservation. I assume that you have our position paper, which
yes, ma'am.
I think states fairly clearly the problems that we see with the bill. I'm not an attorney, but I will say that when I first read the bill, I didn't think it would even apply to us, because when you read it narrowly, we don't hold the kind of hearings it seems to be talking about. We don't hold hearings to fine people, for instance. We don't have any such provisions in our laws. We don't hold hearings to revoke people's permits. But when I asked some of the attorneys in the Attorney General's office about my interpretation, they just laughed at me, because they said a court will interpret it broadly, and that we should assume that our hearings, which are adjudicatory hearings, normally challenging our permitting decisions, they said you should assume that your hearings will be covered by this bill. For that reason, we do strongly support the idea of covering those hearings which are covered under the Administrative Procedure Act. I don't think then there would be very much question about what hearings are covered.
Any questions? Thank you. Bill Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Bill Brown, Division of Motor Vehicles. And I'll just give one example here that we have some concern with. We can agree with the concept of the bill, but we have some concern. Basically, one of them is when a person is arrested for drunk driving, we get the forms. If he blows above 0.10 or refuses to blow, we are required by statute to revoke his license. According to Webster, when we revoke that license, that is an administrative proceeding. That person then has the right by statute, we don't use regulations for any of this part, has the right by statute to ask for limited driving privileges if he hasn't previously been arrested and convicted of drunk driving. our hearing officer, that is an informal hearing, the hearing officer makes a decision on whether or not a person is eligible for the limited license, again, on the basis of the statute lays the groundwork on when they are and are not eligible. If we grant that limited license, that individual is prevailing at that proceeding, in the way this is reviewed at the present time, we would then be liable for the attorney fees. And again, we're just following strictly the lap of the statutes, we're not going into regulations. From what's been discussed in committee so far today, it sounds like you're addressing that type of deal. And so really, I don't have any further comments unless somebody does some questions.
You would have trouble with the language now in administrative proceeding, right?
Yes, sir.
Any questions?
Thank you.
Bob Landau?
Mr. Chairman, my name is Bob Landau. I'm the Deputy Commissioner for the Department of Labor, and I would like to reaffirm some of the things that you've heard this afternoon. The Department of Labor does not have any problem with the intent of the bill, but we think that the language and the scope of the bill may need some further refinement. We would point out that this bill is very similar to a parallel federal law known as the Equal Access to Justice Act, and the purpose of that act is to reimburse individuals and companies that hire lawyers in administrative proceedings. The federal law is limited to proceedings, formal proceedings under the Federal Administrative Procedures Act, and we would urge the committee to consider making that change in this bill. One advantage of doing that is it would very clearly specify what proceedings are covered, and it would avoid the litigation that would undoubtedly ensue with people debating about what's an administrative proceeding and what's covered and what's not. To give you an example, as it affects the Department of Labor, we from time to time get requests for waivers from our mechanical codes, like the plumbing and electrical code, after we've issued a notice of code violation. And a contractor or an owner may go out and hire an attorney who may put in a few hours of research work and write us a letter asking for a waiver. And after taking a look at it, we may grant the waiver. And that raises the question, is that an administrative proceeding whereby the individual or owner should be reimbursed for that attorney's work? There are a couple of other changes that the Department of Labor would recommend. We suggest that the word reasonable be inserted before the term costs and fees in subsection A of the bill, and that's to conform to the rules of court about the award of reasonable costs and attorney's fees, and that would avoid any debate about whether this bill means actual fees or reasonable fees. In addition, we would...
Doesn't that take care of it? Didn't that take care of it, C? Subsection C on page 2, an award of attorney fees under this section may not exceed $75 an hour for services actually performed by an attorney.
That takes care of the per hour billing, but it doesn't do anything for attorneys that overstate the number of hours they spend.
All right, all right.
I think just putting the word reasonable in there would take care of that problem.
Pardon?
No.
You don't know anything about that.
I don't.
If we put in the words, if action by a state agency results in administrative proceeding under Chapter 44.
It's under
4462. 4462. 62,
yeah.
You want me to read this whole thing?
That's the Administrative Procedures Act made that takes care of statement of issues, accusations, and like that. How would that suit you?
If that's the wishes of me.
You wouldn't object with that, would you? Department of Labor?
We would not. We would support such an amendment.
So no other questions?
Mr. Chairman, a couple of other changes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We would recommend, if I might, the federal law does have a limitation as to what individuals and businesses can recover. Specifically, the federal law excludes individuals that have a net worth of more than $1 million and businesses that have a net worth of more than $5 million or have more than 500 employees. And that would obviously exclude people that can afford lawyers and really not within the 10 of the bill. Additionally, the parallel federal law has language in it that says that no award of attorney's fees would be made if a finding is made that the administrative agency was substantially justified in bringing the action, or if special circumstances exist warranting the action that they took. And we think that that kind of limitation would be consistent with the intent of the bill and yet prevent the kind of abuses that we're afraid might take place. Those are all the recommendations I have. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Are there any questions?
Thank you, sir.
I guess that's all we have.
Sir, are you expecting me to be difficult? No, it's not my style.
It's your usual.
Mr. Chairman, I'm Ron Lawrence, Deputy Attorney General in the Department of Law, and I'm here. I haven't really been the attorney who's followed this bill through most of the hearings that it's had, but he's out of town today. He and I have discussed this from time to time all along. I recall, I think it's a couple years ago now, that I testified in front of this committee on a different bill which was more expansive in terms of attorney's fees, that the Department of Law thought, as a matter of fairness and equity, that some sort of provision for prevailing parties in administrative proceedings was good policy, and I guess we encouraged further consideration of it at that point, and obviously it has come along quite a way since then. The kinds of concerns that Mr. Landau has raised and some of the other people on behalf of agencies have raised as to how broad the scope of administrative proceeding is probably the single largest concern that I would also want to convey to the committee, and to the extent that you seem to have concluded that limiting it to clearly those hearings which are APA hearings, I don't think there's any point in my discussing that any further. That would have been my recommendation.
You don't object?
No, I don't. That would have been my recommendation. I might give Senator Pettyjohn a copy of the federal law just for his information. I don't know if the other committee members would want it or not. It does a couple of interesting things. One is it provides an internal sunset provision so that federal law actually goes out of effect this October unless it's reenacted by Congress, so that basically apparently Congress treated it as an experiment initially to see how it worked with agencies. I don't know if that's something the committee wants to think about or not. The other thing it does, and I don't know if anybody's talked about this in any of the stages of the hearings, is it actually makes appropriations on an annual basis to cover the costs of various agencies' awards and attorney's fees, so that agencies don't end up paying those fees out of their regular operating budgets. I don't know if that's been an issue, one that the committee wants to address at this time.
No, I think we should let them pay it within their budget, then it would be more serious and sincere in their efforts.
I suspect that's also a substantial basis for some of the agency's concerns about the award. They're working with tight budgets now, and they see the exposure, even in bona fide cases where there is a bona fide dispute.
Then they know how the common man feels when he doesn't have any money to pay for it.
I know how the common man feels too, Senator. I've been up there, so.
When did you become uncommon?
I guess a lot of people still think I am.
Okay, Ron, I thank you. If there's no other questions from Ron.
Thank you.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know if the prime sponsor would want to hang on to this for another couple of days, but if we put on lines 14 and 15, we put, and I'm the Article 8 of Title 44 is entitled Administrative Adjudication, and it goes through all of this stuff that we talked about, accusation, statement of issues,
yep,
and all the rest of that.
Yep.
So if we put in on line 14, if action by a state agency results in an administrative adjudication under AS 4462-330 through 4462-630, and then the rest of it. I mean, it ties it down, and it certainly covers, I would think, the vast majority of what you're concerned about.
Okay. And then we put the reasonable attorney fee.
Yeah, on line 20.
Can you,
cost?
Can you, yes, ma'am.
May I ask a question, Mr.
Sure.
Chairman?
Sure.
Who determines what reasonable is?
Court.
What if it's an administrative hearing attorney officer instead, rather than the court?
Then that would be whoever's responsible. Would be the administrative hearing officer would do it.
From past experience, Mr. Chairman, can anybody tell me whether or not reasonable has ever been challenged in court cases with a reasonable cost?
Well, there's probably about 200 cases in the state of Alaska that have talked about what a reasonable attorney's fee is. So there's plenty of authority.
Administrative hearing officers, there must be how many in Alaska? There's plenty of them. They change all the time.
I used to be one myself.
Yeah.
Write that.
Everybody except Fritz. Okay, Fritz, will you get the proper language to sit in there?
Yes.
We'll make a. I guess we'll have to make any substitutes. They send it back to you.
There'll only be two amendments.
We'll do that if you want.
Sure.
But then you have to go back to agree with the amendments, so it's the same thing.
I've heard the amendments, and I agree.
Yeah, but I mean, the body is.
Oh, knowing
I wouldn't buy it, I would like you to either. You know what I mean? It's the same as, it would be the same as committee substitute or a. All I'm thinking about is, it seems a lot easier with a committee substitute than it is with make the committee substitute out and we'll send it back, and all you do is concur in those amendments because you know what they'll be, and we won't change them.
So are we going to move it out of the list today?
Yes. Move it out today.
I would move that we adopt a Senate Judiciary Committee substitute as stated with the two specific amendments.
Is there an objection? Hearing none, so ordered. How many do pass? There you go. Next, we have Senate Bill 552 relating to the discovery of attorney's trial preparation efforts.
Well, I just don't know that this is the bill. I mean, Section 1 is great. I mean, I hear, hear. But Section 2, I'm not sure it constitutes really much of an additional help, necessarily. If the court decides that a party is going to be unfairly prejudiced if he doesn't know everything that Senator, all the work that Senator Ziegler did, or if it resulted in injustice. What about the question from the senator of an investigator? If you've got a claim, and you have an investigator go out and spend hundreds of hours and thousands of dollars developing his case, getting his evidence, pursuing different theories, talking to witnesses, and developing the case, the liability for him. And then the insurance company turns around and says, I want all of that. Is this going to protect that?
Well, don't you really have it given up to the court when they make the determination?
Well, but we're trying to give the court some guidance here. And,
we aren't with this bill. Just say, unless the court determines that the denial of discovery will unfairly prejudice the party seeking discovery.
That's pretty big loophole.
That's pretty wide.
Statute is our number, shortly quoted letter, and at least it's a step in the right direction. The day is getting late. The hour is getting late. Right, we had to disagree with this new but we're going to be able to get out of here. I don't want to lose the bill because I do think it has merit. And I think most attorneys basically agree with this.
I agree. I think most attorneys would agree with what this bill is trying to do. But I guess I'm just not satisfied in my own mind that this is the way.
fight it out on the floor, Chris?
I don't want to get in a fight. I'd like to do it right.
Well, I mean, I hear you, but all you're doing is shuffling the papers. I'm listening.
What's the title on this? Of course, it's a Senate bill, so we can change the title.
I think it's going to be the Attorney's Trial Preparation Efforts.
That's probably pretty hard.
What did you say? Did you make a motion?
I will, Mr. Chairman. I move to fill out the individual recommendations.
Is there an objection?
I just have one question, Mr. Chairman. It seemed like all the conversation has been on behalf of the attorney, whether it's proper or whether it is proper, but does this provide any advantages for the client? Does it provide them the ability to get...
It would provide a great deal of relief to my client if I were the attorney for whom disclosure or discovery is being sought. It would save them thousands of dollars because to comply with some of the requests you get for the production of the documents and discovery of this thing and the other thing, you have to answer them under existing law, or the first priority to that comes up my client's cost if I'm an attorney for whom this stuff is being sought.
But on the other hand, it would bring down the terms of fees of the other client, would it not, without duplicating the work?
Well, I don't know.
I mean, basically the question is, if this is
generally, well, let me put it this way. Let's talk off the record and talk in terms of practicalities. Generally, the people who move in this stuff are plaintiff's counsel. Just as often, if it's not, they have a thing like a contingent fee, and they're coming after an insurance carrier, really. You know, medical discovery and all that type thing. And I guess they can afford to pay for it, but it drives this poor attorney who's being harassed, because that's what it boils down to, nuts. And he's got 100 hours of having prepared his defense, and along comes some guy who's just filed a boilerplate complaint, and he's got 3 hours invested, and he wants the benefit of everything that I've done in terms of interviewing witnesses, having taken a statement, maybe having talked to an expert about the traffic patterns.
Would you read this? I don't think she's read the bill. It says SB 552 would permit a judge to order that an attorney's work product be turned over to an adverse party. Huh? That ain't what it says to me.
It says it's got a cool exception for the judge to do that.
She's going on it that this would allow just exactly what Bob's trying to cure.
Well, I don't want to get too enthusiastic about what you're doing.
I'm not enthusiastic about it at all. I'm going to move it out of here. If somebody wants to move it, they'll move it.
I said individual recommendations. I'll put a few things.
What are you going to do?
I guess my question really has been answered. I don't know much about it. I'm just curious.
Is that Charlie Cole stuff? Did you get copies of it for you?
Yeah.
It's not
in my hand.
Do you want
to exit
that?
Well,
it should have been in here. I'm not blaming you. I'm blaming you. I'm blaming you. Of course, you know, the trouble we told her, and he said, this bill is designed. The materials that the bill are designed on the protection of the attorney's trial preparation effort. So I think that Dana has misread the damn bill. I really do.
Work product protection is a well-accepted doctrine in virtually every state in the country except Alaska.
Is that true?
I think so.
Notwithstanding the possibility of Alaska being like somebody to see the error of its ways, the act, this would put an end to the mockery of discovery.
No. I guess the thing what bothers me a little bit is this, so I asked Commissioner Rudd sort of summarize the thoughts that she had on the bill. I'm wondering if that in fact is true, if through these procedures that I would find out that my clients really didn't have much of a case. I advised them, so because of the work of the other attorney.
She's wrong, though. It would not allow the disclosure of attorney's work product. It would further restrict that. That's what the bill is designed to restrict, the passing back and forth.
That's what I mean. That's why I still,
But she's saying it wrong. She's saying it would open it to allow, it would encourage courts to allow disclosure of attorney's work product.
It's not the product, it's the type.
Yeah, it's the type.
Okay, by passing the bill, with half of the bill, isn't that the sentence correct, the last sentence? If this bill is passed, this would hamper the ability of attorneys to fully investigate all facts of their cases. Because as a part of the facts of the case, they're obtaining Senator Ziegler's information. He took hours to comply. And all of a sudden, he finds out, my client don't have that good a case, and applies accordingly. So that's what she's saying. And I guess it's a fact.
Well, all right, so you've got a case against me. And your attorney has worked real hard and spent hours upon hours of work. And he's got all the work product. He's the opposite attorney. He says, look, let me see what your case is. Under the existing thing, he sees everything. He don't have to do a damn thing. Yeah, just prepare rebuttal after he sees what you got.
I guess the flip side is that also, I guess, is if he goes through the same hundreds of hours of work for you, and his bill reflects that accordingly, when you get billed for it, seems to me that somewhere along the line, rather than duplicating all that work of somebody, the people who are going to be paid for all that work, whether it's done by one person or both attorneys, are the ones that are going to be probably relieving some of those expenses. If you're really looking,
I don't understand what you're saying.
You're not listening then.
I'm listening very closely.
Okay, I'm suing you.
Yeah.
Okay. In the meantime, I can file. He's my attorney, as I understand.
Yeah.
And he's providing this backup information. Right. What is this backup information? Against you.
Right.
Okay. Now you hire an attorney.
Yes.
So he's going to find out, number one. Well, first, I suppose he wants to find out if he's got a good case.
I go to him under the existing thing. I said, give me all your crap. And I look at this, and I rebut everything he says.
You aren't listening. I'm just going to say that. Okay, so your attorney goes and gets the information.
Right.
I have spent hours compiling.
Right.
He looks at it, and all of a sudden he finds out, he don't have a case, or he has a good case,
right,
one way or the other.
Right.
So he can advise you, number one, whether you're in a good position to win or lose. I suspect that's the whole point of it.
What if he does? What reason?
Tell me the truth.
What for? What reason? Don't you just tell everybody? I've put in a bill here. Why not?
The whole point being is that
you aren't answering me. Why? Why don't you, Dick?
What are they requiring? Why can you do it in court now?
I'm not asking you that. I'm just asking this one question. Why don't you tell everybody when you make a request for a bill from the legislative affairs?
It's a policy that I have nothing to do with sitting.
Then you.
And I don't mind it, no.
Oh, okay.
If I'm preparing a bill, somebody says, I'll say, sure, It's in the works.
Was the second paragraph of Charles told that was the person.
I think if I understand you right, Prince, your question in your mind is a definition of work product.
Well, I'm not really clear on the extent to which this proposed statute is going to protect the actual work product. I think it's a fairly complicated subject. There's been what the definition of work product is.
Could I once again define the rules of this committee? It takes three votes to get a bill out of this committee. There are two of you here that do not want the bill to go, it will not go out. There's two members here that at this particular time the bill will not move forward. There's a motion that the gentleman put on the floor.
Mr. Chairman, I don't care if the bill goes. If it don't go out, move it out. I just wanted some answers, and if I'm going to get a bunch of harangue, I didn't forget it. I don't give a damn if that's that.
Well, it's a big harangue, all right? If you think I'm a
harangue, we aren't having a committee hearing to talk about these things.
to answer some questions that a committee member has, send the bill out. I'll sign it. Honey, I could care less.
Get the hell out of here.
I could care less.
You don't do that. If you sit and listen sometime and let your head and your mouth get into coordination, you'll